from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. UC students and faculty are expected to strike today in solidarity with graduate student workers who are asking for higher wages. The grad students argue they're not being compensated in line with the cost of living at UC campuses, while the UC system says there isn't room in the budget for more pay. The strike began at UC Santa Cruz in December when teaching assistants organized to withhold final grades, and at least 50 of those teaching assistants were fired last Friday, and more were barred from obtaining positions in the spring quarter, increasing tensions on campus. We'll get the latest news on the strike and where bargaining stands. That's all next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The fight for higher wages for graduate student workers on UC campuses is not new, but it recently reached a boiling point when, in December, teaching assistants on UC Santa Cruz's campus organized to withhold final grades in protest of unanswered demands that had been sent to the school's chancellor. Last week, at least 50 of those teaching assistants were fired or barred from obtaining an assistant job in the spring quarter. Now, both the UC system and the union that represents student workers at the University of California have filed unfair labor practice charges against each other. And we're going to hear from the University of California Office of the President and from graduate student workers shortly. But first, to give us a sense of how this has all evolved, is Nick Ibarra. He's a reporter with the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And Nick, this is all, at this point, this is about COLAs, cost of living, isn't it?
It is. It's about these students demanding a cost of living increase, or at least they frame it as a cost of living increase, in the case of the UCSE campus, of $1,412 a month.
And the problem is, of course, the housing crisis, and we'll get into that housing crisis all over California, but particularly here and down into Santa Cruz. This has been going on for quite a while, though. We have to go back to November, I think, in a letter of demands that went to the new, at that time, UCSF chancellor.
That's right. So this has been really brewing for months, maybe even years if you look at it on the broadest timeline. But in November, a group of graduate students at UCSE, including the Graduate Student Association, their student government, sent the chancellor a letter demanding this cost of living adjustment. And a month later, in December, that's when they started their grade strike with hundreds of grad students withholding fall quarter grades.
And the threat was there, but there really wasn't any action from the chancellor until February, is that right?
That's right. Well, I believe the first time the chancellor addressed this was actually late in January, so after the winter break during the winter quarter. And the chancellor has proposed a couple of new programs, I think, with the estimated value of $7 million a year to support graduate students, including a $2,500 housing stipend, some funding guarantees. But none of that has been the COLA that the graduate students are asking for.
Well, what is? We'll hear from the university shortly, but aren't they taking the position that the contract had been hammered out and this is going above and beyond what that contract stipulated?
That's exactly right. So this is a wildcat strike, meaning it is not authorized by the union representing these employees. And the UCSE administration and the UC Office of President has been really clear. They feel that they cannot negotiate with these striking students because to do so would violate the union contract.
And at this point, how many graduate students are involved, and is it indeed spreading, as it appears to be? Because there's been not only a great deal of support for these graduate students and this wildcat strike, even Bernie Sanders got into it, saying just the other day that anybody has a right to strike for better wages and benefits. But there's things going on at other UC campuses as a result.
That's right. Well, because it is a wildcat strike and because it is really a grassroots movement, it's actually really difficult to tell how many students are involved. We know there are hundreds of students at the UCSE campus who've been involved. We know that students at UC Santa Barbara say that they are also on a wildcat strike. Students at UC Davis have said that they are going to start a grading strike at the end of this quarter. And there have been demonstrations and sympathy protests and rallies at a number of other campuses. And in fact, today we're seeing potentially picketing at three or four UC campuses. And the students are saying that there may be walkouts and day-long work stoppages at other campuses potentially.
Nick Ibarra, again with us, reporter for the Santa Cruz Sentinel. They cover education. He covers education and government for them. And I want to bring Claire Holmes into this discussion. She's Senior Vice President for External Relations and and communications with the Vice President of the Central Office of the President at UC Santa Cruz. We'll get her aboard here in just a second. I think you're there, Claire Holmes. Do we have you?
Yeah, good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. Glad to have you aboard, and thank you for joining us. Let's begin with why the university is essentially not willing to sit down or doesn't want to sit down. Does it go back to the contract and essentially what the contract you feel holds you to?
Yeah, so of course we are in contact on a regular basis with the UAW leadership, with whom we have a contract that's in place. And given the unauthorized strike activity, we feel strongly that this is eroding the fundamental essential principles of collective bargaining.
You did file a suit, actually, a labor practice suit against the union. What's essentially the pith of that? What does it say?
That they're out of contract, that essentially if we fail to meet our contractual obligations, that they would do the same, and I believe they have, and that we feel that they are out of violation of our agreement. The current contract does state that there are no strikes, there's a no-strike article, and that people would be subject to discipline up to and including termination of employment based on the agreement. And the agreement is a good agreement, we feel. It's been put in place for 4 years. Many of the graduate students across our system ratified this agreement. So we have 12,000 teaching students, tutors, and other readers, and it includes a cost of living adjustment of 3% over 4 years, so a total of 12%. It also includes free health care. It includes a $3,300 child care subsidy, $300 in annual fees, and a $100 one-time payment for those that are eligible. This is not a bad contract, we feel, and it is one that we've agreed to. So we're holding up our end of the contract, and we want them to do the same.
And the university has taken some action, as we heard from Nick Ibarra. I mean, there's housing supplements now. There's temporary housing. There's about $2,500 that's been put forward. But you realize there's a crisis, of course. These students can't find housing, and they can't afford it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have two adult children living in my house because they cannot afford to live in this market. So I am not unsympathetic professionally or personally. But, you know, we have offered them at the Santa Cruz campus a $2,500 housing stipend in addition to all the things we offered in the contract to assist them. And we would like to continue to work with them on the advocacy to help us find more housing, to help us build housing in that area. But I've actually read a Chronicle of Higher Education story yesterday, which says this is a crisis across the country for graduate students, that it's not just in the California market. The California market, of course, is so acute, but everywhere this is a problem. So we want to partner with them to work on this, but we also want them to honor their contract.
Well, according to the union, and we'll hear from a union representative in just a moment, during bargaining meetings back in 2018 around cost of housing issues, the university asserted that, quote, housing is a student issue, not a worker issue, and actually refused to bargain on grounds of housing?
Well, we don't provide housing to our employees. So, I mean, fundamentally, these students are making about an average of $47,000 a year and working part-time. They're getting their free tuition. They're getting a cost of living increase. I'm not saying that that housing is easy in this market. It's very, very hard. And we are sympathetic that it's a problem. And we are working on other areas of basic needs, of food insecurity, of housing, et cetera. The university has actually added thousands of beds in our portfolio. 17,000 beds have been added since the president of the university has been in place, and we have launched a student housing initiative to exceed our goals. So we are trying, and
what about,
we also understand their issues.
I'd like you to address the firings, though, and why it's not possible just to sit down and talk and negotiate on this.
Well, so actually, their appointments for their teaching assignments were not renewed. So effectively, they are still employed by the university, but they will not be going forward. And it would be like we would treat any other employee who didn't do their job, right? So
you're really saying they didn't meet their responsibilities because they didn't turn grades in, right?
Correct. And this is impacting our undergraduate students tremendously. So through no fault of their own, on top of the disruption to their education, they are facing, our undergraduates are facing, a potential loss of financial aid, a delay in declaring majors, problems with graduation, the ability to receive a transcript. These are huge things for an undergraduate student, you know, 18 to 23, trying to deal with. So we feel that they need to come back and do their job.
Claire Holmes with us again, a Senior Vice President for External Relations and Communications at the University of California Office of the President. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.
Appreciate the time you spent with us, and we're going to go right to Garrett Strain. And before I do that, Garrett Strain's here in studio with me. He's recording secretary for the United Auto Workers Local 2865, the union that represents 19,000 student workers at the University of California. Let me welcome you first, Garrett.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Before we go to you, though, let me go back to Nick Ibarra. Nick, what's going on at the campuses now? I just wanted to get an update from you on that before we hear from Garrett.
Well, it's actually really interesting. You know, as a case in point, I was actually planning on joining you from KZSE studio at UCSC campus, but the UCSC campus is essentially shut down right now. That hasn't been the case every day, but students today, they got out there when it was still dark this morning. They are picketing and blocking both campus entrances, and UCSC has canceled all classes at least through noon, on the main campus, and we'll see what happens for the rest of the day.
Well,
I'm not entirely sure what's happening elsewhere in the UC system, but I do know that picketing was planned at UC Santa Barbara and Davis, and I believe at least one other campus.
I think that's right. Both Davis and Santa Barbara have planned picketing and certainly have joined forces. And the American Association of University Professors released a statement Monday supporting the strike and faculty on campus. They've been supportive as well, and they have generally said do not cross picket lines. So it's not just the students who see an issue here. Garrett Strain, let's go to you on this. We heard essentially from Vice President Holmes that you got a contract and you got responsibility to undergraduates here, that those are the two big issues. That's why the university is standing firm against.
Well, I want to make one thing crystal clear. It's not true that the university can't bargain over a cost of living adjustment. It's that they currently don't want to. And that's why student workers across the state are protesting and demanding that the university come to the bargaining table to address the skyrocketing cost of living that's putting student workers into poverty and destitution. And instead of dealing with these very real issues, the university is choosing to fire workers and bar them from future employment, which is totally unacceptable.
What about that argument you heard that by not turning in grades, not submitting grades, you're actually unfairly harming the students?
Well, you know, our union has a slogan that our working conditions are our students' learning conditions. And the reality is that when the university doesn't provide us with what we need to do our jobs, the wages that we need to live in California, that not only hurts us as workers, but it hurts our students too, because we don't have the resources to kind of be graduate workers at our campus. So if the university wants to prioritize education, that looks like, you know, really prioritizing the needs of what graduate workers are asking for.
And you also, the union that is, filed an unfair labor practice?
That's right. Several unfair labor practices against the university's illegal actions. And there's a couple different components to this. One is that...
Excuse me, why do you call them illegal actions?
Because the university has illegally fired these striking workers at Santa Cruz for a couple different reasons. One is that they didn't follow the disciplinary process that's laid out in our contract. They just unilaterally fired them. Two is that they are barring these workers from future employment. And three is that they're attempting to discipline these workers through the student code of conduct process, where they don't have access to union representation, which doesn't give them the right to kind of have support from their union representatives.
You're going to have a strike authorization vote, though, aren't you?
That's right. And the strike authorization vote is also in response to the fact that the university is bypassing the union and choosing to meet with graduate student government instead of the union over cost of living issues, which actually the group that they're choosing to meet with has responded and said that they don't want to meet with the university over this issue. They want the university to meet with the union. So in response to that and these legal actions, our union bargaining team met this week and decided to call for a ULP strike authorization vote to begin in early April to push back and fight back against these illegal actions by the university.
Garrett Strain here with us in studio again as recording secretary with UAW Local 2865, the union representing 19,000 student workers at the University of California. Stephen Young is a PhD student at UC Santa Cruz who essentially lost his teaching assistant job. And let me bring you on here, Stephen Young. How are you feeling in the wake of this?
Well, I'm feeling all right. Myself and about 80 of us have been barred from our spring quarter employments, which was set to begin in about a month's time. We have got the sense that there's a lot of support from other campuses within our own campus, among the undergraduate and faculty bodies, and also a lot of outrage over these firings. And so I believe that the agitation that we've been seeing all over the UC system, especially today, a lot of the fire from that has come from the anger and these kinds of outpourings of support in the wake of the firings. They want us to be reinstated.
You've expressed some optimism in the wake of these firings, though. I mean, despite the fact that right now you're having to negotiate your own response. I mean, and in fact, I think, didn't you describe yourself as one of the lucky ones because your rent is not necessarily as high as many of these who are going out on strike?
That's right. I pay approximately 45% of my income to rent. When the cost of living adjustment movement started, we really used this language of rent burden, which housing scholars use to measure, you know, sort of like how much of your wages go into rent. And rent burden is defined as anyone who spends 30% or more of their income on rent, that's rent burden. And in Santa Cruz County, there is about 70% of people in Santa Cruz County are rent burdened. And many graduate students find themselves in this category of rent burden, but also in other categories. So people who spend 50% of their income or more on rent are what scholars call severely rent burdened. I know graduate students who spend 70% or more of their income on rent, they'd be called obscenely rent burdened. This is not a category that is widespread. This is the housing crisis in California more widely, but I guess for me, I can speak to the Santa Cruz experience is drastic and unacceptable.
It's ghastly. Stephen Young, let me ask you, though, about what I said, maybe some at least hope in this or some positive strain in it, because there's been a lot of working together, a lot of support networks, a lot of mutual reliance upon others and really mobilization.
That's right. I think, well, for those of us who've been fired, we've been fortunate enough to have had this happen to us, have had this retaliation fall upon us by the university in a situation where, you know, we're in a collective mass movement and the support networks have been really inspiring and really invigorating. One of the things that we as strikers do sometimes is go to our Strike Fund GoFundMe donation page and look at sort of the outpourings of solidarity that we see.
Yeah, I'm looking at a figure here about over $200,000 at this point.
That's right. That's right.
Could you say something, though, about the concern about risk of losing financial aid or academic honors or advising? I mean, there's a lot at stake here.
Do you mean in terms of undergraduates?
Yes, in terms of the undergraduates. Exactly, yeah.
I see. So I was hearing the representative from the Office of the President talk about concern for undergrads. And, of course, ever since December when our grading strike began, this was, you know, a priority for us as well. Graduate student workers have the most face-to-face time with undergraduates. We consider ourselves to be the ones who allow their education here to really take place. And so because of that, from the earliest days of the grading strike, we've had contingency measures in place and have made exceptions for individual undergrads who write to us as their teaching assistants, saying, you know, I have to graduate, or because of certain financial aid or academic probation matters, I really need my grade to be submitted. And strikers have been open to that. You know, I've personally submitted a dozen or so of my students' grades after having received these communications from them. At the same time, I have also received communications from my students who have said, you know, I want you to hold on to my grade. I want my teaching assistant to be paid enough to live here, because many undergrads here, and I think it's demonstrated by the sheer numbers of undergraduates who show up at the picket line day after day, they know that if the teachers are paid a living wage, that is only for the best for their own education.
Now, there have been calls for cancellation of classes. As we said, this is not only going on at Santa Cruz, but there's a lot of activity at UC Santa Barbara and at UC Davis. And I'd like to hear from you, our listeners, on this. Are you a graduate student worker or part of the faculty and staff at the University of California? What are your thoughts on the strike? And we'd like to hear those thoughts. You can give us a call now at our toll-free number. We invite you to be part of the program. The number to call is 866-733-6786. That number again, for your calls, 866-733-6786, or get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions you might have to forum@kqed.org. And I'm going to go back to Nick Ibarra for a moment here before we go to our break. Nick's a reporter with the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And what about this calling for cancellation of classes? What do we know at this point, Nick?
Well, we do know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that UCSE has canceled all classes at the main campus at least through noon. We're expecting another update on that soon. So it is not really an exaggeration to say this morning that these demonstrators have ground the UCSE campus to a halt, at least for the time being.
And what do we know about violence against protesters? There's been reports of that, hasn't there?
There have been reports of that. What we do know is that at least 18 people have been arrested so far, 17 on one day in February, when demonstrators were occupying the intersection in front of the main campus entrance. They sat, they linked arms. Dozens of police, including from other police agencies, moved in at one point to attempt to clear the demonstrators. They arrested 17 people. I was there myself. There were some injuries, including one graduate student who had a chunk of hair apparently torn from his head, whose face was bloodied, and other bruising and minor injuries that we were able to see.
We're coming up on a break. As I said, Garrett Strain, quickly to you. UAW National has not condoned these wildcat strikes, have they?
Well, in order for...
They're not signed off on them, I mean.
Yeah, in order for workers to authorize a strike in our union, two-thirds of all members of voting members have to vote to authorize a strike, and so that hasn't happened in this case. But we're preparing for a ULP strike authorization vote in early April.
That would be in early April. You got the backing of Bernie Sanders, so we'll see where this all goes, and we'll hear from you, our listeners, when we return. Graduate student workers striking for higher pay across the UC system, and higher pay particularly to pay for housing. Stay tuned for more. We'll hear from you when we return. I'm Michael Krasny. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. We're talking about graduate student workers striking for higher pay, really across the UC system. It all started at UC Santa Cruz, and now we're seeing a lot of action, UC Santa Barbara, UC Davis, and so forth. The number of graduate students were fired asking for COLA raises, essentially cost of living raises, and actually refused to turn in grades. And so on the one hand, we heard earlier from Claire Holmes representing the chancellor's office saying that they're not meeting their responsibilities and there's a contract that they have to abide by. And Garrett Strain's with us here in studio, recording secretary for the United Auto Workers, the union that represents the grad students, actually represents 19,000 student workers at UC. We heard from, the office of the president, and Garrett Strain here with us. So we've heard from both sides. Now we want to hear from you. Are you a graduate student worker? Are you part of the faculty and staff at UC? And just generally, citizens, what are your thoughts on this strike? You can give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. or email any questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. Let's go right to your calls. Let's go first to you, Sue. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am hearing $47,000 a year plus free tuition. The university is at fault for many things, but that's good pay. The fault is on the landlords who are driving up your cost of living, and they're the ones that you should be going after, and they're the ones that all of society should be going after. There have to be laws to control that unfettered greed. I'll take your answer to this off the phone.
All right. Thank you for that. Garrett Strain, why not go after the landlords?
Well, the reality is that most graduate students fund their education through teaching assistants, teaching assistantships, where we make about $22,000 a year. And Stefan was saying earlier that the vast majority of graduate workers across the UC system are rent burdened. In fact, according to the UC's own figures, 38% to 60% of graduate worker income, depending on the campus, goes towards housing costs. So this is an issue that's affecting the UC's ability to attract and retain a diverse group of top graduate students from across the country. And the UC itself needs to step up and play a role in fixing this issue in order to resolve it.
Well, we have a UC PhD student with us from UC Santa Cruz. Stefan Young is with us. And Stefan, like your response to a listener named Alex who writes, I graduated a year ago now, and from what I remember, grad students were regularly asked to do a lot more work than is part-time. Most I knew worked full-time to 60-plus hours a week to make sure everything is graded and sections are held. They really are the most critical part of the whole UC system for undergrads. You don't have to address that last sentence, but what about the fact that it's really not a part-time job? It's in many ways a full-time job.
Well, as graduate student workers, we are in our contract, it's stipulated that we work 20 hours a week. And many weeks of the academic quarter, we managed to stick to that timeline. But in cases where we have, as many as 60 students in the quarter, and it's time to grade essays or exams for every single one of those students, that takes a lot of time. And some weeks, many of us do work more hours because we have to get these things done because the undergraduates need feedback on their assignments. And we're, as I said, we're highly motivated to give these undergraduates the education that they came here to receive. And that's oftentimes time that takes away from the research that we as graduate students came here to do in the first place. We're students, but we're also employees, and that balance is kind of an essential one to strike.
Let me remind listeners, you're hearing Stefan Young, who is a second-year PhD student at UC Santa Cruz, and he was one of the grad students who was blocked from teaching over the protests that are going on. Let me go back, Nick Ibarra, to you for a moment. Nick Ibarra, again, is a reporter with the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Can you say something about the effect this is having on undergraduates? Does it mean fewer spring courses? Does it mean they're going to have to fill vacant positions from others who are going to do the job that the graduate students were hired to do?
Well, that is the big question, Michael. And the answer is, for now, we don't know. I was just asking the campus spokesperson about this on Monday, and he said they're, at this point, they are preparing for impacts. They're communicating with departments. I also saw a email that was sent out by the psychology department, which seemed to suggest that they think they may only have half the teaching assistants that they would ordinarily have for that department based on the number of students who were fired. And there's also hundreds of graduate students who have signed an apparent pledge that they won't fill the jobs of these fired graduate students, which could also complicate things further. So we know there are very likely to be some impacts unless a resolution is reached. We're still not sure at this point what extent those impacts are going to take.
I'm going to read a couple more comments. Phil writes, I understand there is a problem with housing costs and cost of living, but I really have no patience for the actions of these graduate students for withholding grades and negatively impacting undergraduate students. I think it is reasonable for the contracts not to be renewed. And Alana writes, I have been accepted for fall 2020 into the UC Santa Cruz programs in biomolecular sciences as a doctoral student. UC Santa Cruz is one of my dream schools. However, the current situation has been weighing heavily on my decision to actually accept this offer. I think the academic program is wonderful. However, I do not believe I can attend a school that does not value the livelihood of their students. And let me go to another caller, and that's Jose in Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning, first-time caller. I just want to clarify, I think people said that it was $40,000 for a part-time job plus benefits. I mean, that seems like a good job, according to the previous caller. And if they're not happy with the situation, why did the union then agree to it? Why did the graduate students agree to it? I mean, I went to a professional school. I had to pay and get over $100,000 in loans. That's always a solution. The cost of California living is not new news. It's something that people came here with their eyes open.
Jose, I think you raise a good question here. And let me go to Garrett Strain, who represents the union here. The deal was made. I mean, I think that's what he's implicating. And the pay is, by some standards, certainly decent. Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to just reemphasize that most graduate students fund their education through 50% full-time equivalent, 20-hour-a-week teaching assistantships, which are paid about $2,400 a month. And when you're spending, $1,400, $1,500 a month in rent, that leaves you with almost nothing left over to pay for basic necessities to live. And, our union has been on the front lines of the fight for economic justice over the last 20 years. And we were a part of a coalition of groups that have been pushing legislative solutions to the housing crisis, including Proposition 10, which would have lifted a statewide ban on rent control, but unfortunately failed. The UC, going back to the first question, the UC is one of the largest landlords in California. So, I mean, part of the problem here is that they're giving us paltry wages as teaching assistants with one hand as an employer, and then with the other hand, as a landlord that houses a significant number of graduate workers, they're taking back those wages with skyrocketing rents.
But I think, Jose, aren't you also asking why did they accept the contract to begin with and now are wildcat striking? I think that was implicit in your question, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. Could you answer that, Nick?
Yeah.
Garrett?
Yeah. So, we're a democratic organization, and I was on the bargaining team in the last round of negotiations, and we reached a tentative agreement with UC that made major strides on protections against sexual harassment and discrimination and other issues. And that contract was put to a full vote of the union membership, and a majority of members voted to ratify the agreement. But I don't think that means that members believe that the UC has done enough to address the cost of living. Like Michael brought up earlier, we actually demanded a cost of living adjustment in their last round of negotiations, and UC refused to bargain over it. And, this issue is getting more and more severe as the cost of housing goes up and the solutions to the crisis are not there. So that's why our union's issued a demand to bargain multiple times since 2018 to get the UC to come to the bargaining table to negotiate over this crisis. And rather than just trying to use excuses to not bargain, we think the university should sit down and deal with the problem.
Let me thank Jose for the call and actually get your response, if I could, Garrett Strain, to UC Santa Cruz statement. They say, UC Santa Cruz has made numerous good faith efforts to offer solutions and assist our TAs, including a substantial allocation. We heard this earlier from Vice President Claire Holmes. New financial support and two temporary housing assistance programs for graduate students. UCSC is working to build more student housing to further address the situation. In other words, they're saying they're not being idle on this.
Yeah, but it's also clear that they're not doing enough. I mean, there's workers in Santa Cruz that are putting everything on the line because they are not able to survive on the wages that they have. And, there's a lot of problems with the way that the UC has gone about addressing the issue. For instance, you mentioned earlier that UC unilaterally implemented a $2,500 housing supplement. That's an annual supplement. And the problem with that is that, one, it's not nearly enough. Two, they didn't bargain it with the union, didn't give union members the opportunity to shape what that housing supplement looks like. And three, it's only at Santa Cruz, and this housing crisis is an issue that affects graduate workers across the state. So, and four, It's not enforceable. The UC could take away that housing supplement at any time. And that's the reason why union members are demanding that the UC sit down at the table and negotiate, because we want binding protections in a contract to deal with the housing crisis, not, you know, one-time potential promises.
We'll hear from more of our callers. We go next to Caitlin in Union City. Caitlin, join us. Welcome.
Hi. So I was once a grad student. I graduated with my PhD about 5 years ago, not through the UC system, but through another state. But I, too, was once a rent burden grad student. So I feel you guys. I was making about $17,000 a year. And my solution was to take out student loans to cover the other incidentals. And I also had peers who actually went on to food stamps. So I was wondering, you know, what percentage of the UC students are on any kind of like government assistance while they're at school. And I do want to make a comment with regards to, you know, the part-time work and the $40,000 pay. Like, grad students are typically taken advantage of, in my opinion, for relatively cheap but highly skilled labor at a very like high margin for the administrator. So if they were to hire a faculty member to teach those classes, that, you know, salary burden would be much higher. And so, yeah, I'll just take my comment off.
All right. Thank you, Caitlin, for those questions. Can I go to you, Nick Ibarra?
Well, I just wanted to really quickly point out that this 40,000 number, I'm not actually positive where that comes from, but most of these grad students in actual pay in their wages are making $21,000 to $22,000 a year in pay. So when Claire mentioned 47,000, I think that may have included benefits and tuition in that number. We'll have to get to the bottom of that. But there was a first part to that question, too. Can you remind me what that was, Michael?
I'm trying to remember what actually she was asking directly in that first part of the question. I think she wanted to know, again, it was a question about pay. And I think you've kind of answered it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there was something about loans. And the answer is not.
Well, we don't know. I think she was saying we don't know really, you know, what kind of assets these students have and just how solvent they are.
Right.
I don't know. In fact, I think maybe there needs to be some data collected on that score. There's a lot that we don't know, but we know a lot of these students are in debt, aren't they?
And I haven't seen exact figures about that, but I do know from anecdotes that I've seen, it does seem to be the case that many of these graduate students are spending 50 to 70% of their effective wages in rent. And the other thing that you have to understand, too, is that Santa Cruz is a more expensive city than many people realize. It has been disproportionately hit by the housing crisis. And if you look at the UC Office of the President's own housing data, housing near the Santa Cruz campus is more expensive than housing at any other UC campus, with the exception of UCSF. So, housing does command a premium here. That is certainly true.
Nick Ibarra, again, covers education and government for the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Here's Mary, who writes, I recently graduated from Stanford. As a graduate student, it was extremely difficult to live on my grad stipend. I am 100% behind the striking students. And Tariq writes, I work full-time at a hardware store, attend school part-time, earn barely over minimum Bay Area wage. I rent a room at a shared housing building, and I know and understand the housing crisis. However, if the UC students are earning more than $45,000 per year, doing what is practically a part-time job and comparatively more comfortable situation than most menial jobs out there, how come they can't manage their life with the $45,000 per year part-time jobs? We'll go right to you on this, Garrett Strain. We have to distinguish between that number, $45,000, as Nick Ibarra said, and what may be including tuition and fees and all of that.
Yeah, I don't know where that number comes from, because the reality, like we've been talking about, is that most people fund their education through teaching assistantships or graduate student researchships, which have a much lower pay rate. But yeah, I mean, according to the university's own figures, the typical graduate student worker is spending between 38 and 60% of their income in rent. And that is completely unsustainable for the vast majority of us. And at my campus where I am at Berkeley, 14% of graduate students have experienced homelessness since they first came to graduate school at Berkeley. So this is a real crisis. And it's not a situation where people can't manage their money. It's that we aren't making enough to live.
UC statement says, first and foremost, a small group of academic student employees at UCSC who refuse to teach class sections and submit grades are unfairly harming UC's undergraduate students. You say what, Garrett Strain, to that?
I say that we're standing up for our undergraduate students. We're standing up for working conditions that allow us to have what we need as graduate workers to be able to provide our undergraduates with the highest quality education possible. And our union over the past 20 years has fought for protections against sexual harassment and discrimination. We've won paid parental leave and childcare benefits to make the university a more family-friendly place. And this is all of these benefits are extremely important to ensure that undergraduates have the best education possible from a diverse and highly talented group of graduate student workers.
I'd like to get your take on this, Stephen Young, bring you back into the conversation here, but also you're an international student, aren't you?
That's right.
Can you talk about just the impact that you see on international students like yourself?
I can, yeah. Just to speak to the $45,000 a year question,
yes.
My speculation is that the Office of the President Representative was referring to a full-time 100% pay scale, meaning that that's how much graduate student workers might earn if we were working twice as much as we are already. As it is, my take-home pay for the last financial year was $21,906. And that was the money that I saw, and 45% of that money went to rent. Now, as an international student, I am limited in the ways that I can support myself additionally to that. So, for example, I do not have the same capacity to take out federal loans. I do think that students should not have to debt finance their own education, meaning that they should not exit a course of education, whether undergraduate or graduate, with, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of debt that takes decades to pay off. As an international student, I have no access to these kinds of loans. I also do not have access, because of my visa prohibitions, to off-campus employment, part-time jobs that many graduate students find themselves having to do in addition to teaching, in addition to researching, in order to kind of stay afloat in this housing crisis.
Where are you from, Stephen, originally?
I'm from Singapore.
Singapore, yeah. And Stephen Young, again, is a second-year PhD student at UC Santa Cruz. Looking at a comment here from a listener named Ingrid who writes, I just heard from my daughter at UCSC this morning that all dining halls have been closed because of the strikes, essentially holding the on-campus kids hostage. Pretty extreme measures. There must be a better way. The students are not teaching the fine art of negotiation. Let me get another caller on, and that's Peter in Berkeley. Good morning.
Hi there. I just want to make a comment about this $45,000 a year that was said by the Office of the President. I think that was a pretty inappropriate thing to say. So I don't know exactly where that number comes from, but as a faculty member, I can tell you that students who are graduate students often make about $20,000 a year. And what is really important to realize about graduate students is they're not teachers. They haven't been hired to come in to teach undergraduate students, though they do that to fund themselves. They've come to learn. They've come to basically get PhDs and to do research and to forward their own careers. And that's how they're funding themselves, is by doing these TA ships, and they're making about $20,000 a year. So, you know, perhaps if they were to spend all their time, teaching, they could make, you know, a reasonable living wage, but that's not why they're there. And so I don't think that comment that was made by the Office of the President was put into context. I don't think it's correct. And a lot of people have been calling in and saying, you know, oh, $40,000 a year is more than enough. That is not what graduate students make. That's what your two guests have been saying. And I can say that that is definitely true. Graduate students do not make very much money at all. They make about $20,000 a year. And I think that's not really appropriate. And I don't agree with what the Office of the President said there.
All right. Glad to hear your dissent on that, Peter. Thank you for the call. I'm looking at a comment here, and I'm going to go back to you, Garrett Strain, from a listener named Allison, who says, I recently saw a headline that UCs, Berkeley and UCLA, are holding private fundraisers as a result of the lower funding by the state. So where do the strikers think the money will come from? What will the schools need to cut?
Well, you know, it's true that the state needs to do more to fund the university, and our union has been active over the years pushing for progressive revenue measures, taxing the rich to fund higher education and K-12 education. But at the same time, the reality is that UC is a very wealthy institution. It's a $35 billion a year institution.
They claim they don't have the money for your COLA requests, though.
Well, ultimately, it's a question of priorities, right? Given that it is a $35 billion a year institution, and given, like Stefan was saying, that graduate and undergraduate student workers, TAs, readers, and tutors, we perform the majority of the face-to-face instructional contact at UC that makes instruction possible. The UC needs to step up and really prioritize the living conditions of graduate workers in order to ensure that the educational mission of the university succeeds.
A listener named Catherine writes, I want to express my solidarity. CSU students are paid significantly less and don't get fee forgiveness. At San Francisco State, I was getting $500 a month for being a TA. And we'll go next to Claire. Claire, you're on. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to comment that I think it's a systemic problem here. I work for the community college system as an adjunct faculty member for the last 15 years. And, I guess I'm not quite sure on the graduate status with the last caller that came in that says they make more like 20. But if it is the 40, adjunct faculty members make about the same without 100% benefits. We only get 50% of the benefits paid for.
Claire, forgive me. There are people making six-figure salaries who can't afford housing. I mean, that's the reality of the housing.
Right. So I just, my thought is that there's a systemic academic problem here, and they're relying a lot on exploiting adjunct faculty. There's 70% of Peralta is adjunct faculty, and it seems like the same is going on with the graduate students here. So I think that just needs to be addressed throughout the academic system.
I thank you for that statement, Claire, and I appreciate your call. I'm going to let it stand and get another caller aboard. Corrine has been waiting patiently to join us. Corrine, good morning.
Hi. I was just wondering about that. I heard 70% of your rent or 70% of your income going to rent, and I feel like it's easy to assume people are living out of their means, just a fancy one-bedroom apartment or whatever, and I am sure that that's not the case, but I'd love to hear what the living, like the standard of living is for people paying 70% of their rent.
Can you address that for us, Stefan Jung?
Yes. Well, our kind of like preliminary calculations for rent burden was based on a database for Santa Cruz County where the median figure for rent was $1,150 for one bedroom in a three-bedroom apartment. I personally don't know other graduate students who live in a sort of like one-bedroom apartment situation. Those kinds of apartments in Santa Cruz can go for upstairs of $2,000 per month in rent, which is nearly all of the graduate student salary. Now, housing situations vary greatly from person to person, and graduate student needs are different. I emphasize especially graduate students who are parents and workers as well as being students who have, beyond the basic personal needs such as rent, have other obligations such as childcare, which have to be paid on top of these conditions. I would also add that in the Santa Cruz housing market, some of the difficulties in the housing crisis have been coming from the local landlord class, which,
Yeah, we had a caller earlier who said blame it on the landlords.
Exactly. I mean, this is sort of, as Garrett was saying, the University of California is a landlord. Many of us simply do not see on-campus housing as an option insofar as it is limited. The Santa Cruz on-campus housing, as Nick was saying, is the most expensive in the University of California system. And so many of us seek housing off-campus. We know that these prices are driven up by the university's own rent that it charges. We find ourselves in situations where it can be difficult to fight as a tenant for your rights in a city that does not have rent control. I know graduate students who live in cramped rooms that have leaks, that have mold, that have, you know, pest infestations. These are sort of issues that in many other parts of the state are meant to be addressed by the landlords. And in Santa Cruz, one of the acute feelings of the housing crisis, in addition to rent, is the is this condition of trappedness and crampedness, where so many effects of the housing crisis are offset to us as people who are just trying to live here.
Stefan Young, again, with a second-year PhD student at UC Santa Cruz. A little bit of time left, but I'd like some response from you, Garrett Strang. Garrett Strang, again, is recording secretary for UAW Local 2865, the union that represents 19,000 student workers at UC. This is Yaniv, who writes, I was a graduate student at UCSD, and I was disappointed in the UAW's ability to represent us. The union reps never responded to any of my concerns. The university administration ran circles around their negotiating team, and they adopted positions that had nothing to do with their grad students, like divestment from Israel. The fault here does not solely lay with the university.
Well, you know, I respond that, you know, over the last 20 years, our union has been at the forefront of the fight for economic, racial, gender, and social justice. And in our last round of contract negotiations, we made some major strides to deal with the problem, the pervasive problem of sexual harassment in academia. As folks might know, the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Mathematics released a report in 2018 finding that sexual harassment is a pervasive issue in academia. And in fact, the rate of...
Let me cut to the chase here. He's saying you guys don't negotiate as well as he'd like you to negotiate. That's really, I think, the criticism. And unfortunately, we're out of time here, but it's important to get into sexual harassment. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
And thank you for joining us. That's Garrett Strain from the UAW. Nick Ibarra, thank you for being with us. Good to have you aboard.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Nick Ibarra is with the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And thank you, Stefan Young. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Stefan Young, second-year PhD student at UC Santa Cruz. We also spoke with Claire Holmes, senior vice president at UC's Office of the President. Thank you, all our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.